The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions. Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans, here on a Saturday. It is time for the weekend edition of Busted Open. I'm Ryan McKinnell. Got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, along for the ride here on this Saturday. And on this edition, we take a deep dive into Friday night and the continued amazing work that one Sami Zayn is doing on SmackDown as a part of the Bloodline. Honorary Oos, Sami Zayn. We also take a look at one of the best men on the microphone and, well, slowly becoming a great worker inside the ring, one Pat McAfee, as he calls out Baron Corbin on Friday night. And it wouldn't be a weekend edition of Busted Open if we didn't give you our best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. You know the deal. It's weekly winter time. So sit back, relax, and click play. It's Busted Open on Saturday.
First got it when he was six. Didn't know any tricks.
The qualify for Money in the Bank. Shin into the corner. Oh, a kick by Sami Zayn. Oscar Paul is the loser.
I am so glad he is a focal point of my Friday night viewing. I am so glad he is getting, you know, you use the word in pro wrestling, the push. You know, Sami Zayn should always have the push. He's that talented. We've talked about his versatility. We've talked about his entertainment value. And with each passing week, Mark, it just becomes more and more clear how valuable this guy is to that company.
Man, he is very valuable. And don't understate how good Shinsuke Nakamura was last night either. Like,
oh, he's amazing.
It takes two to tango, and both of them guys, they did an excellent job of entertaining, keeping you interested in the match, and the implications were strong. So, like, you couldn't lose with that match if you just had the people go out and perform. And they both did. They both went out there. But the promos that set up stuff was more entertaining than the match. And everybody can't do that, man. When he said, I will not cash in on the Tribal Chief. I just started laughing like, okay, like what in the hell is going on here? This guy just.
Well, that's what's great.
He just volunteers unknown, information.
Right?
That nobody asked you.
Right. Well put. Well put, Mark Henry. But that's what makes him so, you know, entertaining. The fidgetiness, the coyness, the sort of ADHD vibe that he gives, right? But then the humor, the levity, there's just so much. And then, you know, if you're a worker, right, and you can speak to this, Mark, you know, you can count on him. You can count on him and Nakamura, right? Like, they're like butter, man. You like Randy Orton, too. Like, there's just a class where, no disrespect to any of the other people out there in the professional wrestling world. And I mean, I'm sure the workers out there listening, right? They're not going to sit there and disagree. Like, when you say Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Randy Orton, Bryan Danielson, there's names out there that you mentioned that are just a little bit better than everybody else. But in terms of that reliability factor, man, just like butter in the ring.
Yeah, you know what, man? You mentioned Randy Orton. This is some, like, personal stuff, but I just want to go on record if Randy listens or if somebody that is a friend, a family member of Randy Orton. Randy reached out to my son Jacob on social media and told him how good he was doing and how proud he was to see him doing what he was doing, and gave him some uncle sage advice and talked to him like he would talk to his son. And I want to thank Randy for that. Like that's we. How it cool. takes a village of people to raise these kids. I know that I'm not doing it on my own. It's not like I'm a single parent. My wife does a great job of you know taking care of them and getting these kids where they need to be. But it helps to have somebody outside of your house tell your kid something special, something good. I want to thank Randy for that. So if somebody's out there, let him know that I overheard Jacob telling my wife that Randy hit him up in the DMs. That was pretty cool.
That is awesome. And I don't stay at Jacob too much, right? Because we do got a show to get to. But Jacob is shout out to Jacob, who is right now in Southern California at USC putting in some work. The attitude that kid has, like, I think I was talking about it with us three when we were in the car. Like, you couldn't tell me nothing if I was Jacob Henry, right? If I was going to USC, if I had Randy Orton in my DMs, if I was 16, like, I would be a problem. You raised a good kid, man. I know the work isn't done, but that kid, he is a fine young man. Like, I don't know. We were out at dinner, like, all of us, right? Like, I'm not going to mention who was there, but
adults.
Someone, like, kind of stepped out was like, we were all adults. It was like, what are you? Basically, like, how are you the way you are at age just 16? So you've done a great job, Mark Henry. You really have.
Well, I appreciate it,
and
man.
It does take a village.
He's been exposed to a lot, and that's something. As a little kid, I used to get told, be quiet, grown folks are talking. And I said I would never do that to my kid. My kid asked me a question, I'm going to answer it. If there's an adult situation that arises with a kid,
fair.
Don't you want to let them know what that is so they don't have to run into the same pitfall you did? You know, but that was an old school way of controlling your kids and keeping them from growing up too fast. Well, the world that we live in now, you have to grow up fast. You have to.
Yeah. Social media.
You know, it's like the kids in New York City. Man, I got my neighbors in Harlem, their kids can get on the train, go down to like Midtown, run around, do stuff, get back on the train, come back up to Harlem, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
and God knows what they'll see in between that time.
What they're gonna see on that train.
Right.
Or in the city.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
For real.
Like, so I want my kids. My kids are exposed like that. They can take the train. So we need to do that to all our kids. But you know what? Let's get back to what we were talking
Let's
about.
Let's do.
Sami Zayn and Nakamura put on a hell of a show. The implications, the promos, everything about that part of pro wrestling right now is, bro, it's beyond. It's beyond the level of communication that we can give it on this air.
Well,
because I watched the show last week and this week, and I found the only two things that I found more entertaining than watching Sami Zayn go out was the stuff with Elias and anything dealing with the bloodline. Like,
that's fair.
If there's only two things above you on the programming of the company you work for, you're doing pretty damn good.
Hey, and let's be honest, Sami is a big part right now of that bloodline story because we don't know what's going to happen at Money in the Bank. We know, and I thought the commentary team last night did a wonderful job, Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, kind of explaining, right, the stakes that were at play. Sami Zayn has been a focal point of this company now for years, and he has never held a major championship title, right? I think what McAfee said, I think it was McAfee's like, I don't believe it for a second. Like, if he wins that Money in the Bank, like, he's definitely cashing in on Roman Reigns, you know what I mean, at SummerSlam after he takes on Brock
like,
Lesnar.
Because
that was
Pat.
The other big part of the conversation, right? Is how worn down is Roman Reigns going to be after he presumably beats Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. It's just it's a great sort of story that they're playing with, and what better piece of that puzzle to play with than Sami Zayn.
Yeah, and I love the fact that Sami has embodied the fact that he is Oos. And that transformation, I thought the best that I would ever see Sami, and you remember how unbelievably ate up I was during the pandemic when he was cutting promos on the fans and
yeah.
Like he was looking into the camera, which the WWE really didn't allow. Remember I told you, we were told, hey, don't address the camera, address the fans, right. Address the announce table, address the wrestler, but leave the camera alone. Mm-hmm. Sami was looking into the camera. It's your fault. The government does what you allowed them to do. And he would do it, and I'd be like, yeah. Holy shit, this is amazing. And he is evolving. Where
Give
is Sami Zayn going to be next year?
Well, that's a cool thing, right? Like, he could be a champion. Like, he's got the pedigree. Like, we know, as a wrestler, he could
Why
be
not?
A champion. Or, well, that's the interesting thing, right? How deep does he want to be an Oos, right? Like, how deep does he want to go into the
yes.
bloodline? And how much do they want to play with this story? Because you know what? I got to be honest, man. Like, having him win Money in the Bank and then doing some sort of historic, like giving it up or, like, holding on to it for a year and, like, promising Roman Reigns that I'm never going to cash in on you and then having Roman carry it and, like, have us all believe it and at the very last moment then do it. There's just so many ways you could go with it. Look at you. Look at the way you just clasped your hands. It seems like
Listen,
you, something just
it
hit
just
you.
Came to me. It just came. Oh, my God. My brain is about to explode.
Okay.
Brock
all right,
Lesnar.
Hit me.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I mean, he has took Roman Reigns to the limit.
Yeah.
The Oos come out, and they tap dance on Brock. Roman comes up, and bang, he nails Brock from behind, and they do the triple tap dance on him. But Brock double Ooses over the top, goes back and forth. Bang, he drops Roman. The match is over, and now Sami is like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And
he's
then you see Paul Heyman pop up, like all of the stuff, and he's just about
Don't
to
do it.
Briefcase.
Don't do it. Don't do
Don't
it.
Do
Don't
it,
you do
Sami.
It, Sami.
And he fucking cashes it in and becomes the WWE champion.
Don't tease me. Don't tease
and
me.
Now,
Sami, don't tease me.
He could
do
the whole
personal victory.
Acknowledge me.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine him acting like he was Roman?
But the chase, right. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. Like him stealing Roman's entire gimmick, gimmick infringement, right, while making Roman chase him for, what, 3 months?
I would
do it. You could drag it out for a year.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk Morrissey.
This is Greg McElroy.
And this is Nate Burleson. With the 2020 NFL season finally upon us, we're excited to announce 3 new NFL podcasts from SiriusXM.
On Total Coverage, we'll explore the hows and the whys behind the league's biggest results.
On Inside the Pocket, we will go under the helmet for all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
And on 17 Weeks, Jamal Adams, Emmanuel Sanders, and Eric Ebron will discuss the latest NFL stories straight from the locker room.
New episodes of all 3 podcasts will be available every week on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. Unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater won't break the bank with an American Home Shield warranty. because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of. Choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix it or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. Right now, you can take 20% off. Go to ahs.com/bustedopen now to save 20%. That's ahs.com/bustedopen for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield. Don't worry. Be warranted. See ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amount, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
I guess.
When I get to put on the headset and talk into the microphone for the millions. Shout out to my man, The Rock, members of the WWE Universe. I feel alive. So bum ass while you're catfishing on the internet, acting like you're not an insufferable, arrogant douchebag. Why don't you ponder this for a moment? SummerSlam. You and me. Nashville, Tennessee. And when I kick your teeth down your throat, the only thing I will think is I feel more alive than I've ever felt in my entire life right here at SummerSlam.
But what did you get?
Hey, we are back here on a Saturday, hour two coming your way. You just heard it. Pat McAfee calling out Baron Corbin, Mark Henry. And the Pat McAfee, I mean, it ain't an experiment anymore, right? Like, this is a full-on character. We are in full-on storylines. This is a man who is performing at the highest level at the biggest stages like WrestleMania, and now apparently it looks like he's coming back at SummerSlam. I would imagine, you know, we're gonna drag it out a little bit and we'll get to the story. Corbin might run a little bit, but you know, the dude's heat on the mic, and we've seen what he can do in a ring with very, you know, I mean, limited, you know, time to, I mean, listen, he's put in the work. I'm not saying he hasn't, but this is a guy that took to pro wrestling almost immediately and just truly hit the ground running. One of the more enjoyable, just, I mean, everything, man, in the ring, on the microphone, take wherever you want to put Pat McAfee, the dude delivers. I'm here for this Baron Corbin match at SummerSlam, man. I hope they book it.
Did you hear the power in that promo?
Yeah, did you hear the crowd?
He can go comedy. He can go comedy. Bum-ass Corbin.
Yep.
Bum-ass Corbin. He could do comedy. He could do all that shit.
Of course.
That promo was, I will kick you in your teeth. Don't think for 1 second that me being a kicker or me being a punter is beneath me being a linebacker or a defensive end, because I led the NFL in tackles for kickers and punters. Pat McAfee was a headhunter. He used to go after guys. You hear what I'm saying, right?
He didn't play safety. Because there is that NFL crossover, right? They both played in the NFL.
There were guys that would punt, and they would play safety. They would back up and wait and be the last man in case of emergency.
Take out someone's knees or something, or clip someone. Right, right.
Pat would field. He would go down and hit people. Google him. He's a tough dude. And Pat is a natural athlete.
He played for the Colts. That is my most hated team. I know I'm from Indiana, but I'm a Bears fan. I'm from Northwest Indiana originally, and we had that 2005 Super Bowl, which just split families, man. That was like 2006, the Bears and the Colts. That was like Civil War, man. That was terrible. And, yeah, McAfee was a big part later of those Colts teams and the entertainment factor. And, yeah, so I actually went from hating, like legit hating Pat McAfee, and I can't stand the Indianapolis Colts, right? But I went from hating Pat McAfee to
the whole point of
just
what I was saying was,
yeah, I love the dude.
Pat McAfee is a tough guy. He is a natural athlete. He stood flat-footed and jumped up onto the top rope, turnbuckle.
That's crazy.
Tell me that ain't good enough. Tell me that's not good enough. You watched him at WrestleMania. Mm.
Of course.
I mean, outside of Bad Bunny, I would say Pat is the next guy up as far as having the best performances at WrestleMania that was not a wrestler.
Might have been better. I don't know.
It was
a little wild. I'd have to go back and rewatch. But they were both supremely impressive. And then Pat's getting obviously the weekly work on the stick as he teams with Michael Cole, and he gets to go out there and do that as well. So he's a more regular part of the WWE universe, if you will, Mark. But yeah, Bad Bunny, Pat McAfee, that crossover appeal is so big for the WWE, and it's what they do better than anybody. They do it better than AEW. They do it better than anybody. It's because it's been their brand, Mark, since the inception of WrestleMania, right? Like, that's what Vince did at the very first WrestleMania. Yo, this isn't just professional wrestling / sports entertainment, right? This is entertainment. This is celeb. This is, you know, a celebrity. This is pop culture. This is America. This is, you know, this is bigger than life.
There you go.
Yep.
You're on the right track. When you said pop culture, that said it all, because that's what we just talked about. When I said the multiverse, like, that is beyond
Blade,
wrestling.
Yes.
It's not just wrestling.
Yeah.
It's the whole culture of entertainment overall. And it's sports. It's Hollywood. It's Netflix. It's Prime, Amazon Prime. It's Disney. It's everything. Mm-hmm. And
sure.
Pat McAfee coming into this whole world, keep pulling people from different places, and
absolutely,
you pull people enough, then you have the whole world encompassed. And that's the thing I love about pro wrestling, man. It's like, we're not just people in tight clothes jumping around off the top rope. It's a very diverse entertainment or groups of entertainment.
You're kind of here because of that, right? Like,
yeah,
the World's Strongest Man, Olympian, Mark Henry, the Smile, twing, right? Late night talk shows, right? Like, the Olympian, I mean, you drew the eye of the WWE, not WWF at the time, correct me if I'm wrong, because of pop culture, because of your crossover appeal. So when you talk about it, I mean, that's 25 years plus of experience.
Yeah, and to bring in people from those walks, you know, Ronda Rousey, Pat
sure.
McAfee's, the, mm-hmm. You know, I scoured
Bad Bunny.
Yep. I scoured the internet and I watched television too. And right now, Samantha Johnson, the announcer for SmackDown, she announced Mr. McMahon at WrestleMania. Like, mm-hmm. I saw her on The Voice. And I said,
oh, I didn't know that.
Wow, what a good look. And then she started talking. Articulate, smart, glib. And then she started singing. And then she started playing the violin. I said, okay, this is too much. This is too much. She got too much talent. She should be in wrestling. So I hit her up and said, hey, are you interested in pro wrestling? And she was like, is this Mark Henry for real? Because I don't like being catfished. I said, yes, this is Mark Henry. I want you to come into the wrestling world. And she said, this is during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, my God, me and my family are huge wrestling fans. She's like, and then she started telling me matches she saw me wrestle.
Oh,
in 2014, in 2011, I saw you at and I was like, okay, you need to be in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
And sent her to Orlando, to the Performance Center, and she had a workout. Not the greatest athlete.
Yeah.
But that's not why I sent her there.
I was going to say, that's not what stood out to you. What stood out to her was
no,
talent.
Her
you just know you can get something out of that.
Get in the door. And she got down there, and they started her with the announcing and stuff. And now, voila, there you go. And she was like, I don't know how. She said, I don't know how you got me a job during the pandemic when everybody was out of work. She was like, you are a miracle worker. And I said, no, I'm a good evaluator of talent. That's who I am. And
that's what you do.
Luckily enough, it's still appreciated. I work for AEW.
Sure.
But don't think for one second that a Vince McMahon won't say, hey, Mark, thanks for pulling this person in. They're doing a hell of a job.
Sure. I mean, 25 years is 25 years, right? And the pro wrestling world is small.
My thing is I want to do that at AEW, and I am doing that at
100%.
AEW. 100%. So, like, you know, guys been good to me.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You took Jade Cargill to WWE at the time, right? You were like, yo, you really need to look at this woman, right? Or am I mistaken?
It was a little different than that, but roundabouts. I made that offer to them, but they didn't want to relinquish enough control. And, you know, it was, you know, financial considerations and all of that stuff you know, personal information. But also knew people over there at AEW, and I was on Team Jade. So I was like, listen, I got somebody for y'all if y'all want her. This is what's necessary. And boom, then they picked her up.
Boom. So, and Bianca Belair, we know the story of you and Bianca and obviously getting her into the door in WWE. When you say you're a great evaluator of talent, that is indisputable at this point in your long Hall of Fame career,
they
Mark
both
Henry.
Are champions.
When we talk. That's right. That's right. They are. And they are both. Man, the world is their oyster when you talk about both of those women, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. What a time to be a pro wrestling fan. We say it every week, right? And there are two reasons why. You just look across the world, right? Like the landscape. Sonya in her suit. We were just talking about it, right?
Wow,
like these weren't characters.
So
bro, these weren't characters we got 30 years ago. It just wasn't. Like it just wasn't.
No.
The entire business has changed.
It would not empower women. Like, you know, back in the old days, you know, there's bikinis and oil wrestling and stuff that was kind of beneath the definition of a wrestler. And
you had Medusa. You had others out there. You had women out there that were doing it. China, obviously, was a big part of that transition. I feel like Medusa, right? But it was a slow build. And then there was a lot of, like, stop gaps in between and what we're living now. It's just wild to look at. And yeah, as you talk about, this conversation started talking about crossover appeal, right? You go back to Pat McAfee. Is this going to be a guy that is just going to be used at these premium live events like SummerSlam, like WrestleMania? Or do you see a more regular in-ring schedule for Pat, Mark?
No. I see Pat doing the big events. Like his value is standing behind that desk next to Michael Cole and any other announcer, and making the show move along faster and smoother and entertain and explain the small details and announce, we'll be in Des Moines, Iowa next week. Yeah, like doing all of the stuff to let people know about where wrestling is going and how wrestling can be absorbed. And if you can get him at a pay-per-view, great. That's a bonus. This thing with Corbin is only going to make him more valuable at the announce table and give him more credit for not only knowing what he's talking about because he's doing it, but it's also going to give him that edge of, I've been there before. I've done that. And people value experience. People, how many times have people that's listening to this show, how many times have you applied for a job and then they, what's the first question they ask you? Have you ever worked in this field before? Did you work anywhere else doing this? Like, experience is a premium, and you're giving Pat McAfee experience.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk Morrissey.
This is Greg McElroy.
And this is Nate Burleson.
With the 2020 NFL season finally upon us, we're excited to announce three new NFL podcasts from SiriusXM.
On Total Coverage, we'll explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results.
On Inside the Pocket, we will go under the helmet for all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
And on 17 Weeks, Jamal Adams, Emmanuel Sanders, and Eric Ebron will discuss the latest NFL stories straight from the locker room.
New episodes of all three podcasts will be available every week on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yes, Mark Henry, it is the start of Hour 3 here on a Saturday, and we are starting Hour 3 the way we start every Hour 3. You know the deal. It is weekly winner time, where we give the Busted Open Nation our best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. We start where we start every Saturday. We go back to Monday, and you brought it up. I think you brought it up in Hour 1, man, but this Ezekiel stuff that is going on with Kevin Owens is just chef's kiss. It's just... it's must-watch professional wrestling, like I was sports entertainment. Call whatever the shit you want. I don't care. I got to watch it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, that was the primary thing that I was looking forward to on Raw, and they did a hell of a job. They did a hell of a job with the split screen, the double screen, the in-ring performance, the after the match, you know, ballyhoo in the back, and then, you know, you have the challenge, you know, being made, and as Elias is left in the ring, now you have Ezekiel walk up and go, you know what, I'll accept that challenge. Like, it was just very well produced, very well done, and it put you in suspended belief, and it was the thing that I liked the most about that show.
Yeah, well, and that says a lot, because when you talk about the things that you like most about that show, that featured a main event between Asuka and Becky Lynch, which was really strong as well. Like, Monday Night Raw is, you know, in terms of consistency, really finding its footing amidst a lot of chaos going on in the WWE, right? Like you mentioned, right? Sasha Banks, no Bayley, right? No Becky. Like, it's very up in the air with a lot of this stuff, and I really feel like, especially for a three-hour show, Raw is, again, really finding its footing and giving us a consistently decent, consistently good product.
It is. Like, right now, we argued, you know, maybe 6 months ago that Raw was suffering, that they, you know, it's 3 hours, that we need to try our best to get more out of all of the participants on that show. And we weren't getting that. And, you know, I also, I'm glad that they started doing a better job. I'm glad that Raw started doing a better job, because it's like the flagship of the brand, and you want that to be good, because when Raw is good, SmackDown is good, AEW is good, New Japan is good, MLW, you name a company, that all of wrestling is good, and that show was pretty decent.
I was trying to, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships, right? And as you talk about Raw, Cena's coming back, right? And Cena's coming back to Monday night. to celebrate his 20th anniversary, right? He's coming back to Monday Night Raw.
Right.
And I was talking to my wife about pro wrestling and sort of my history with it. It's like, yeah, I remember Saturday Night Main Event, and I remember the Big Four, and I remember trying to watch, but I don't really remember pro – like, I don't want to say like I don't remember pro wrestling before Raw, because I do, but Raw was really, for a lot of us, 1993, I was 10 years old, like that really set forth the era that we're living today, this weekly produced, like you knew you could go, you knew it was on a Monday night, it was labeled, it was consistent, and then, I mean, just a few years later, the Attitude Era and Nitro and everything that came from it. You just can't understate, or you can't overstate, I should say, how important that brand, like you said, right? It's good to see Monday Night Raw doing well again. That's because we're tied to it in that sort of way. You know what I mean? It's a part of our history.
Yeah, and you know, when you have an AJ Styles and a Riddle,
yes,
and Almost, and what Almost and MVP are doing, and all of the stuff that goes into that Monday night show and is successful, then it you know, you kind of, there's a competition, put it like that. There's a competition of who has the best television. And if Raw starts off doing really well, the rest of the week will pretty much flow and do well.
And we love having competition at NXT 2.0. They're finding their footing. They got a lot of talent down there. Speaking of talent, Carmelo Hayes, big focal point of Tuesday's show. Good. Carmelo is one of the brighter spots at 2.0, but I just, you know, in terms of weekly winner, I can't rightfully have them in the running. Listen, Mark, we get to Wednesday. I'm just going to say it. Wednesday, Dynamite. That's my weekly winner. When you look at what Dynamite had, I mean, it's been a little wonky getting through the injuries of Danielson and CM Punk and what the plans were for Forbidden Door. But, bro, like, you're going to have Okada show up on North American television, right? You're going to have this go-home show for Forbidden Door. You're going to have the back and forth that we saw between everybody, the promo work that we saw, the matches we saw on Wednesday night, the builds to Forbidden Door. No disrespect to Impact, what we saw on Thursday, and certainly no disrespect to an entertaining Friday Night SmackDown. My weekly winner is Dynamite, and in large part due because it was the go home show to Forbidden Door, which is something we've never really seen before. And I'm talking about Forbidden Door, Mark.
Like, never. There you go. We always talked about what goes into the greatest show. A title change, that's always good.
It helps. Yep.
It helps. And to have something new happen, you know, an announcement for a new match, or somebody show up that, you know, you never saw on the show before. You had that. Like, you have all the elements of, or a match that, you know, we always, you know, the five-star match. Like, or you have one of those knockdown, drag-out matches.
Sure, sure.
You have that. You had that. So, and it was the go home, like you said, to one of the biggest pay-per-views on the brand.
Yeah, when those coins hit and I knew that Okada was coming out, because obviously I know Okada's walkout music. We talked about Wrestle Kingdom, right? Staying up for those 24 hours. Okada was the reason. No disrespect to, you know, Omega, right? But like, Okada is arguably the greatest wrestler right now in the entire world, right? Like, I think you could probably pick about five names, and I'm not going to disagree with you. Yep, you can debate it. It's an art. An art is subjective. We talk about it all the time, right? But if you say Okada, there is no way I'm going to argue with you. I'm going to be like, okay. Like, I don't even, like, all right. Like,
hey, I got to tell you, though, for your money, the line of the entire show was not about the pay-per-view. The line of the show was Jay Cargill and them looking for doing a baddie search.
The baddie search,
And Bivens saying, hey, we want women to send us photos and videos of you to see if you're going to be, to my sisters in Christ. Keep it PG. Man, I fell out my chair. I was like, this is great. What great TV, man. Like, it would have to be. And last night, you know, you can't foreshadow what happened on SmackDown and Rampage. Great, great Rampage. Starting off like gangbusters.
Andrade.
You know, with Phoenix and Andrade. And ending in a, I guess it would be a train wreck. Like fighting everywhere, all over the arena.
It's a lot.
Anybody that
was
involved in an angle, they were out there fighting. And Jeff Cobb and Cash Wheeler, they had a hell of a match.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I really enjoyed that match, and I'm glad.
The show was great. And,
Jeff's getting that shine.
Yeah, and then you got the go home pretty much. Well, not a go home, but you had more
almost.
Of the
almost.
You had more of the education of what's going to happen in Las Vegas at SummerSlam, and them fixing all of their pivots that stuff going the opposite direction from Cody Rhodes and with the women with. Sonya Deville and that whole angle. So there's a lot of things.
I like the Drew and Sheamus stuff too, in terms of them getting their entrance and the Money in the Bank. I thought that was well handled. Yeah.
And Sami Zayn, his blessing to the show, was awesome. But I can't go past Wednesday. It was just too good, and
it was
that's
just too
my
much.
Weekly winner too.
Yeah. Yep, it was just too
and
much.
You
it
know
was just
what
too
we
good.
Always
it was a
say
go home
on this
show,
show
for Forbidden Door.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Neri Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.